Well, this is the time when we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. We'll invite you guys to head back in that direction. Wow, what a great group. Hey, we're continuing our look at the life of Joseph and seeing how God can use the mess that our life often becomes. Sometimes it's a mess of our own making. Sometimes it's a mess we've contributed to. And sometimes it's just stuff that happens in spite of our best efforts. And we've been looking at Joseph. And last week we looked at one of the contributing factors to Joseph's predicament. If you know the story of Joseph, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. That's where we ended last week. And we looked at part of the reason that he was treated so poorly by his brothers is because Joseph was just a punk. I mean, he was a brat. He was spoiled. His dad didn't make any bones about the fact that he was his favorite kid from his favorite wife. He gave him a coat of many colors to delineate him from all of the others. He was the youngest, but he was treated as if he were the oldest. He was set up for failure because his dad pampered him, his dad spoiled him, and his brothers knew it. Well, not only did his dad spoil him, but Joseph began to think pretty highly of himself, and he would bring bad reports of his brothers. Now, they may have been doing some things they shouldn't have done, but nobody likes a tattletale. And so every chance he got, he would come back and bring a bad report from his brothers as they were out tending the flocks or taking care of the sheep. And he did everything he could to elevate himself and to make his brothers look bad. But then on top of that, God gave him some dreams. God kind of let him know, look, I've got some good plans for you. I've got a future for you. I've got things that you're going to do. And rather than being humbled by the fact that God was saying, I'm going to use you to protect your family, I'm going to use you in the future, he became pretty arrogant about it. And God gave him two dreams, and one of them was he says that he came and told his brothers. He was bragging about this dream because he understood the importance of it, because his brothers immediately understood it. Said, look, we were all out gathering the sheaves of wheat, and as we were gathering them, my sheaves stood up tall, my bundle of wheat stood up tall, and all yours came and gathered around and bowed down before it. I said, what do you think we're going to bow down before you? You think you're going to rule over us, you little punk? Well, not only did God give him that dream, he gave him a second dream. And the second dream, he started being arrogant with his dad. And he called his brothers and his dad together and said, look, God, I had another dream. And this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down before my star. His dad knew immediately. I said, what, you think your mom and I are going to bow down before you? You think we're going to elevate not just above your brothers. You think you're going to rule over us too? His dad began to see this arrogance in his son. But he didn't say anything other than that. And the brothers hated him. The scripture says that they couldn't say anything good to him. Man, you talk about a dysfunctional family. But it was because Jacob spoiled his kid. And his kid began to think more of himself than he should. God revealed himself, and in his arrogance and in his pride, he began to try and lord it over. He began to try and boast over his family and say, I'm going to be somebody. You guys better beware. You just get ready, because I'm going to want to be the one in charge. Well, that went completely against culture and everything. And so just think about your own little brother. Now, I don't have a little brother. I was the little brother. But I had a little sister. And you know how sometimes that your younger siblings can just get on your nerves? You know, so put yourself in these 11 brothers' position when Joseph was being a punk. So they found an opportunity to get rid of him. They sold him into slavery. Now this is a mess. This is a problem. This is a circumstances that aren't completely his. Now, they overreacted. We can think, well, they shouldn't have done that. But you know how brothers are sometimes. We're going to put him in his place. And sometimes it goes a little too far. Well, Joseph is in a bad predicament. Joseph's in a mess. And how can God use this mess to produce what he told Joseph was going to happen? Well, before God can use him, before God can use anybody, the first and foremost thing is we have to have a humble heart. You've got to understand that, look, this life is not about us. This opportunity that God gives us is not about us. The blessings that God gives us is not about us. See, Joseph was blessed with favor from his father. Joseph was blessed from favor with God, but rather than being humbled by it, he became arrogant and proud, and it became all about him. Well, God has a unique way of humbling us. I can attest to that. God can use a lot of things and a lot of circumstances us to develop in us a heart that is useful for him. And a heart that's useful for him is a heart that's humble. A heart that understands, look, this life, these blessings are not about me. It's all about God. And how can I honor God with the life that he's given me? So if you find yourself in a mess, or if you know somebody that's in a mess, or you're struggling with some things, the thing that we looked at last week is we've got to let God develop in us a heart of humility. And if we're going to be used by God, if we're going to be kingdom-oriented and we're going to be useful to God's kingdom, it has to flow from a heart of humility. Micah tells us that what does God expect of you, O man? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. We cannot walk with God in arrogance. We cannot walk with God when it's all about us. So God began to use some circumstances to get Joseph's attention, and he did. This is the amazing thing, that we don't understand the conversation. We don't know how God worked through this. We don't know the process that Joseph went through, but we begin to see some evidence of a humble life in Joseph. And how can God use a mess? How can God use trouble to be glorified in us? Well, in chapter 39 of Genesis, we're going to look at what happened after Joseph was sold into slavery. If you will, stand with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 of 39, and we'll read down through verse 9, but we're going to look at all of the chapter. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about from that time that he made him overseer in his house and all that he owned. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was a handsome in form and appearance. And it came about after these events that his master's wife looked at him with desire, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There's no one greater in the house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?'" Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful that you are a God who redeems, a God who works through so many things, a God who blesses, a God who prospers. But Lord, we often take those blessings and begin to think it's all about us. Lord, you use circumstances to remind us, Lord, but often we're very hard-headed. Lord, rather than being humbled, we become angry. Rather than being broken, we become bitter. Lord, rather than being useful, we become useless to the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I pray today that you would help us understand that in the troubles of life, there is great opportunity for your glory. Lord, help us to learn how you can use even our mess to make an eternal difference. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So his brothers have overreacted. They sold him into slavery, and he goes, is taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, these unbelievers, these uncircumcised Gentiles. And he's sold into slavery, and it just so happens that he's bought by a man named Potiphar, who is in the captain of the bodyguard. Now, you got to think for just a minute. This dude is important. Okay? This guy is in charge of the men who protect the Pharaoh. He's not just your average and ordinary sergeant in the army. He's not just your average and ordinary soldier. He is the one that's in charge of protecting the life of the Pharaoh from anybody that may get close to him. He is in charge of the bodyguard. So he carries a lot of weight. He's a very wealthy man. If this is the guy that's in charge of your life and you're the Pharaoh, you're going to lavish all kind of good stuff on him. You're going to want him to like you a lot because he and his men have got to be willing to die so that you don't. You don't want them to be aggravated with you. So this man has a lot of position. This man has a lot of power. This man has a lot of wealth. And he's bought Joseph and he's brought him into his house. And we begin to see, the Bible doesn't say specifically that Joseph humbled himself before the Lord, but we begin to see evidence of his humility. We begin to see the transformed attitude of Joseph. He's been sold by his brothers. He's been bought by an Egyptian. He's in a land that he knows nothing about. He's in a place that he's got no control, no authority. He is the lowest of the low. He's a slave, bought and paid for. He's the property of someone else. But yet God has said he's going to be a ruler. God has said he's going to be one in authority. But now he's on the bottom. You got to understand, sometimes we've got to get on the bottom before we can ever get to the top. And see, that's something that we don't like to do. We go to college so we can get a degree so we can start out in management. We graduate from high school and get out on our own and get ourselves in huge amounts of debt because we think we're supposed to have what mama and daddy took 40 years to get. We should get as soon as we walk out the door. Joseph went from a place where he was doted over. He went from a place where he was being spoiled. He went from a place where he was actually had great authority over his older brothers. And now he's in a place where there is absolute nothing that he is in charge of. There is absolutely nothing that he can do about his circumstances. Talk about a reality check. You talk about a humbling experience. But see, the problem is there's opportunity for both. Joseph very easily could have became very bitter. Joseph very easily could have became very angry with God, angry with his brothers, angry at his master, angry at his circumstances. He could have had a whole list of reasons why he didn't deserve this, and he was just going to do the bare minimum to get by. I'm going to do everything I can to find ways to get out of here. I'm going to do everything I can to find ways of getting out of work. I'm going to do everything I can to do the very least I can because I don't deserve to be here. I'm supposed to be in charge. But rather than that, we begin to see evidence that he humbled himself before the Lord. He said, look, I'm here because I was a jerk. I'm here because my brothers hated me with good reason. I'm here partly because of my own doing. See, the first part of humility is taking responsibility for the things you've done. Now, some people may have overreacted. Some people may have taken things out of context. Some people may have went too far. But you've always got to look and say, how did I contribute to this mess? What decisions did I make that helped me get here? What part did I play in creating this mess? And begin to humble yourself. Say, what was it about me and my attitude that led people to treat me the way they've treated me? What have I done to deteriorate this relationship? What have I done to contribute to my circumstances? Joseph began to, I think, do some very deep introspection. He began to think about where he was and why he got here. He began to let the presence of God convict him of the sin of pride in his own life. And he began to be different. Now, why do you say that, brother? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't give us any details, but it gives us some very strong hints and clues. Look at what it says in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, that doesn't mean that we can act however we want to act and God's going to bless us. What does the Scripture say? That God opposes the proud, but He exalts the humble. So, according to God's Word, according to His character, that there had to be a humbling of the spirit of Joseph for God to be with him in these circumstances. And you and I need to understand that no matter the circumstance of our life, when we humble ourselves before the Lord is with us. If we're a child of God, sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to do things we shouldn't do. Sometimes we're going to get arrogant. Sometimes we're going to make a mess of relationships. Sometimes we're going to make a mess of marriage. Sometimes we're going to make a mess at our job, and we're going to get demoted. We're going to do things we shouldn't do because we're sinners by nature and we struggle. But no matter what our circumstance, no matter what the reason we're in the circumstance we're in, God is there if we will humble ourselves before Him. See, no matter where you are, God is with us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That even means when we make the mess. If we will humble ourselves before the Lord and get ourselves back under His authority, He is with us. And He can use us for His glory even in the most difficult of circumstances, even in the biggest mess, even when we have no control over what's going on, even when we have no authority, even though we have no power to instigate any change, God is with us. And when God is with us, we can be successful. Notice what it says right after the statement. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Wait a minute. Joseph is a slave. He's been bought and paid for. He's owned by somebody else. He doesn't have any rights. He doesn't have any say-so. He doesn't own anything. He can't possess anything. But yet the Bible says, the Word of God says that the Lord was with him, and so he became a successful man. See, success is not necessarily a matter of position. Success is not measured by the amount of stuff you have. True success is God with you. Can God use you? See, there's no greater success for the life of a Christian. There's no greater success for we who follow Christ than to be used by God. And Joseph was a success, not because of his position, not because of his authority, not because of his power. God was able to use him in certain ways, but it was because he had humbled himself before the Lord, and God was then able to work through him, to set him apart in circumstances that are so foreign to us, that are so difficult and so unimaginable and so hard and so outside of what he would have expected as a child of God, as a child of Jacob, as one who father had all kind of wealth and had a lot of privilege, but yet because he humbled himself before the Lord was with him, and he was a success. Now, what was it that made him a success? In this, as a slave, he began to be honest. He began to work hard for his master. Notice what he did. It says, "Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand." Joseph worked diligently for the man who owned him. He worked hard so that the one who owned him could benefit from his circumstance. Rather than being bitter, rather than being angry, rather than being spiteful, he humbled himself before the Lord. The Lord was with him. So he says, "God, in this situation, how can I honor you?" It begins by serving others no matter where you are. See, he was diligent in the job that he was given. Whatever the Potiphar put him over, he worked hard at. Whatever Potiphar gave him to do, he worked well with it. He was a man of integrity. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, if we're going to be used by God and we're going to let God use us in the middle of our mess, we must not only be humble, but we must be people of integrity. He had every reason to do everything he could to get out of work. He had every reason to not want Potiphar to prosper in any way. Because he was a slave. What do I owe him? But yet, because he humbled himself before the Lord, because he wanted God to be glorified in his life, and he began to understand, look, my life is about God and not about me, then everything that he was assigned to do, he did as unto the Lord. What was it Paul tells us? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord, not for men. So see, it's got nothing to do with where you are. It's got nothing to do with your circumstance. Integrity means I'm going to honor God right here where I am. As hard as it is, as bad as it is, as much as I'd rather be somewhere else, God, I'm going to honor you right here. That doesn't just talk about work positions. Sometimes it's a marriage that's hard. And you've married somebody that's hard to live with. Sometimes it means, God, instead of you changing her or you changing him, my prayer becomes, God, help me honor you right here. God, help me be satisfied in you when I'm not satisfied in my spouse. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been married for 31 years. There have been times where I've had to pray that prayer. I'm just being honest. Because there are times, if you've been married long enough, there are times when your spouse gets so busy in other things and gets so caught up in things. A lot of times it's when you got small kids. And man, you go to bed stressed, you go to bed tired, and the last thing you want to do is be intimate with one another. And there are times where I'm just talking from a husband's perspective, you feel left out. All her attention goes to the kids. All her attention goes to job. All of her energy is spent elsewhere. And she's got none left over for you. And you begin to get dissatisfied. I've been there. And sometimes you just got to pray, God, help me be satisfied in you when I can't be satisfied in her. God, help me honor you in this difficult season of our marriage. See, that's where being humble with the Lord is the only way that gets us through these difficult times. The only way that we can survive a difficult marriage. The only way we can work through those hard times so that the good times can come. But the good times can't come because we often give up in the middle of the trouble because it's still all about us. See, if we hang on to, she's supposed to make me happy. He's supposed to make me happy. They're supposed to satisfy me. They're supposed to make me feel good. They're supposed to make me feel worthy and worthful and wanted. And all of those things come from God. If we're going to honor God in our marriages, we're going to make marriages that last and demonstrate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the presence of God, to be what a marriage is supposed to be in the life of a Christian. If we're going to do those things, there are points where we've just got to say, God, help me find my satisfaction in you. God, help me find my worth in you. God, help me find my joy in you. Help me find my being wanted in you. Sometimes it's in friends. Relationships are hard. I don't care if you're married or just got a real good friend that you've got connected with. There are times when it says you just got to say, God, it's not about me. Help me honor you in this difficult situation. Help me honor you in this mess that has been made. Some of it my making, some of it not. But God, help me honor you. You have to be a person of integrity. That the little things matter. If we're going to honor God, we've got to do the things we do for His glory and not for our own comfort. So he says that the master saw, Potiphar saw, that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper because he worked diligently. He had humbled himself before God and he was a man of integrity and he worked hard at whatever his master told him to do. He worked hard and was under the authority of this one who had bought him. And his whole purpose, his whole desire was to honor God right where he is. I want to encourage you. I don't know what difficult place you're in. I don't know what hardship you're facing. I don't know what frustration you have at work or at home or at school or whatever it is. The most important thing you can do is say, God, help me honor you here. Rather than, God, make this go away. Rather than, God, give me a new spouse. Rather than, God, give me a new job. Rather than, God, give me a new circumstance, make all these problems go away, make my life comfortable so that everybody will see how good you are. No, what God wants to do is He wants to honor you right where you are. He wants to use you. Sometimes it's in sickness. If we will just honor God, be people of integrity, let the small things be important. God is able to use us. Verse 5, it came about that from the time when he had made him overseer in the house and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. And the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. See, when we're people of integrity, when our desire is to honor God right where we are, God can begin to use us to make a difference in the lives of other people. He can begin to separate us out and cause us to stand out in this difficult situation. I've said before, and I've begun to understand this in my own life and seen it so much in the lives of other people, that honor God no matter what their circumstance, their greatest desire is to honor Him. It's in those difficult days that the presence of God is so profound. And so observable by the lost world. Potiphar began to notice, hey, there's something unique about this Joseph cat. He's a slave like all my other slaves, but man, he works. And what he does well. And there's something different about him. I don't know if Potiphar knew that it was God that was blessing him, but he knew that something was different. He knew that this cat was different from every other slave I own. And whatever he does succeeds. Whatever he does makes me money. Whatever he does profits me. So I'm going to put all I got in him. I'm going to put him over everything I own in the house, out in the field. He is going to be my right-hand man. He distinguished himself because he chose to honor God in the midst of a mess. I tried to tell my kids when they were getting ready to graduate high school and go into the workforce. And man, even while they were 8, 9, 10 years old and starting to do chores and starting to work and do things, I kept telling them all the time, look, when you get a job, if you'll just show up with a good attitude, if you'll show up on time, if you'll show up wanting to learn, if you'll show up willing to work, you will set yourself apart from 90% of the people that are there. Because most people, I don't care how old you are, how young you are there for a paycheck and a paycheck only. And if you'll show up and let the boss know that, hey, I'm here to work, give him a good day's work, want to learn rather than try and avoid work, try and learn new things, you'll set yourself apart because you're diligent and you want to learn, you want to work, you have integrity. It's the same thing Joseph did. He was set apart because he honored God by the way that he served his master. And God was able to bless him. And God was able to set him apart. And he began to set him over the house. And it says the Egyptian was blessed in all of his household because of Joseph. In the house and in the field. Everything about this guy was blessed because Joseph was honoring God in the middle of a mess that he didn't create. See, if Joseph would have been like all the other slaves, he could have been bitter. He could have been angry. He could have done just the minimum to get by, just to keep the boss off his back. He had never been set apart. He had never been noticed. He would have just been another slave that I'm wondering if I wasted my money on. Have I got to beat him to get him to do anything? No, he was a man of integrity. And God was able to use that. This is not just for men. Again, it's not just for the workplace. This is for home. This is for relationships. This is for everything that we do. When life gets difficult, our first prayer is, God, help me honor you in this situation. It says he left everything he owned with him, didn't have to worry about anything but food, but then Potiphar's wife took notice of him. See, when you begin to be set apart, sometimes people give you attention you don't want. Some people want to hook their cart to you. Potiphar's wife noticed that Joseph was a good-looking man. He worked hard and he was doing well, and she decided she wanted some of that. So she began to entice him. She began to try and get him to do things that was not very honorable. Sleep with me. Now, as a slave, again, number one, you don't have the right to say no. He knew it was going to be bad. Second of all, a woman scorned? He knew it was going to be bad. There were all kind of reasons that he should have just said yes. There are all kind of excuses he could have come up with and says, look, I'm going to go along to get along. I'm going to compromise here so that my life, I've got a pretty good gig going here and I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to compromise. But what does he do? He says, no, I can't do that. Look, your husband has set me over everything that he owns. I'm second only to him. He withholds nothing from me except you. You're his wife. So how could I do this great sin against God? See, integrity says that God, what God thinks of me is more important than what people think of me. Integrity means doing the right thing when it costs you. See, Joseph had humbled himself before the Lord, and he began to understand that, look, my life is not about me. My life is about bringing glory to God. And I bring glory to God because I'm faithful in what he does. I'm a man of integrity, and integrity means that I don't compromise, period. And she was constantly coming after him. Lay with me, lay with me, lay with me. He was constantly, I cannot do this. I can't. Your husband has such faith in me. Your husband has such confidence in me, trust in me. I can't do that. But more importantly, I can't dishonor my God that way. She goes on. She sets up, I believe, a time where she takes out all the excuses. Look, nobody's going to know. It says that if you read on in chapter 39, that all the house servants were gone one day. It was nobody in the house but him and her. I think she worked that out. Look, I'm gonna get all the people that might know out of the way. I'm going to give him every opportunity. I'm going to get rid of all these people that might could find out so my husband can't find out. Just me and him. Nobody's going to know. She calls him up and says, look, lay with me. No, she grabs him by the coat and trying to be as persuasive as she. And he runs, leaves his coat. Man of integrity. She gets angry. Husband comes home. She starts fussing at him, telling him, look, what this Hebrew you brought into my house. He's been making advances at me, and finally he made an advance at me when nobody was here, and I screamed, and he left his coat laying here beside me. What are you going to do? She lied. And sometimes when you're a person of integrity, people are going to try and figure out ways to bring your reputation down a notch or two. Made false accusations. Her husband did what any good husband would do. He got angry, had Joseph thrown into prison. So he's now a slave who's in prison. Going from one who is in charge of the house, lied about by this master's wife, and now he's in jail where it says that Pharaoh keeps his prisoners. This wasn't your average and ordinary county lockup. This was the penitentiary. This was the dungeon. This was the place that was not pleasant to be. Of no fault of his own, he was trying to do what was right, trying to honor God. Next week we'll see how we can let God use even this mess. It seems like it's getting worse instead of getting better. You know, and sometimes that's what happens with us. We start trying, okay, God, I want to honor you in this circumstance. God, I want to honor you in this circumstance. God, I want to honor you in this circumstance. You live as a person of integrity, and you live under the authority of God, and you try and do what's right. And it seems like the more you do what's right, the more things go wrong. You ever been there? Don't give up. See, Joseph was able to continue as a man of integrity. He was able to continue and let God use him in this mess. Let God, even when it kept getting worse, he kept honoring God. And sometimes your mess is going to get worse before it gets better. Sometimes it's going to get harder before you see what God's really doing. But don't give up, because God is with you. The Lord is with you. He didn't promise it'd be easy. He just promised it'd be worth it. Don't give up on what God has in store just because it's not working out like you think it should. Trust the Lord. If you're here today, you've never accepted Christ, I want you to see Joseph is a forerunner to Christ. Jesus came so that we might live. Jesus came to bring salvation to the world. But his whole existence on earth was one of difficulty, one of rejection, one of pain, one of hatred, one of anger. And he was the Son of God. But yet, he prayed in John chapter 17, God, I've glorified you because everything you sent me to do, I have accomplished. His life was about honoring God, just like Joseph. God was able to use Jesus to bring salvation to the world because he honored God, even when it was hard. Paul says in Philippians, even to death, the death on a cross. Joseph was able to be used by God eventually because when it got hard and when it was unfair and when it was not like he expected it to be, he still chose to honor God right where he's at. Christian, are you
Are you trying to honor God right where you are? Or are you trying to get God to change circumstances? Are you trying to get Him to change people? Are you trying to get Him to get you out of this mess? Make me more comfortable? Or are you just, God, I'm going to honor You. I'm going to trust You. You're with me. And I'm just going to see what You have in store as I honor You. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're facing hard. Life's hard. And you can't say the Lord's with me. Right now, you're an enemy of God. Right now, you're outside of His hand of mercy and grace. Now, you experience some general grace. But the hope of eternity, the hope of God working things out for you, isn't there. But He wants to. You'll just surrender your life. You just come to Him and say, God, I want to be under Your authority. Life's hard. My life's a mess. And I want you to work this out because I'm making a bigger mess the more I work at it. Surrender your heart and your life to Him. Trust Him. He is faithful. He's faithful. Let's stand.